Good morning. Would you stand with us? Merry Christmas. The first Noel the angels did sing was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold to see. There was a star shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued for day and night. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. He has come for us, the Messiah, born to give us life. He has come for us.
From God our Heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. He has come for us, this Jesus. He's the hope for all mankind. He has come for us, the Messiah, born to
people said,
amen.
Thank you. You can be seated.
Well, good morning, everybody. So glad that you're here. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. Before we read scripture and before we pray together, I do want to ask you to just be in prayer for Debbie and Justin and Casey after a long heart fought battle. Les went home to be with the Lord on Friday night, and we mourn his loss, but we celebrate knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. And we know that he is in the presence of the Lord Jesus this morning. There will be a graveside service on Friday in Brenham for him, and then we will do, I believe, is it tentative, Casey, or January the 10th, the memorial service here? Okay, tentatively, we'll do a memorial service here January the 10th, but we'll keep you posted and updated on that. I want to repeat a scripture you found. The very last chapter of the book of Psalm, we read, "Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with the loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father God, we've come before you, Lord Jesus, on this morning, Father, to worship you, to praise you. As your scripture says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And Father, we are here to do that very thing. Lord, we ask that you will move in a mighty way through our time of worship. We ask that you'll move in a mighty way as we turn to your word in just a few moments, Lord. We pray for those in our faith family, Lord, that are traveling, that you will just keep them safe as they're on the road, Lord, and as they're spending time with family, Lord. We pray for the Meyer and the Hughes family, Lord, in the loss of Les, Father, Lord, we mourn and we are heartbroken, but we also celebrate knowing that he's in your presence. Father, just be with this family and comfort them. Be with us this morning. Father, if there's someone here that does not have a relationship with you, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for being here this morning. Turn to somebody around you and welcome one another.
Please stand with us.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, veiled incarnate deity. Pleased to stand with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and light to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Mild He makes His glory nigh, born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give the second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
And so we welcome him in this place. Amen. Glad he's here. Glad you are here. For unto us a child is born.
For unto us a child is born, a son is given. A son is given. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. The Messiah, oh, to see him high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love. As we sing, holy, holy, holy. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. The Messiah, oh, to see him high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out his power and love.
Christmas story, and we get to the part where the shepherds came and Mary treasures that in their hearts. But if you read past that, which sometimes we fail to do, the shepherds came and they rejoiced. Mary treasured all that in her heart, and then the most amazing thing happened. The shepherds came back. They came back to worship who they had been told was the Messiah. So that's a calling you and I have, to always come back. We go and tell, we carry him with us, but we always come back to worship him. Amen? A family hiding from the storm found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save a world so cold and hollow. A sleeping town they did not know, that lying in a manger low, a Savior King who had no home, has come to heal all our sorrows.
Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story?
Shepherds counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in his sight. God has come to raise the lowly.
Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for your glory. Make room in your heart.
Mother holds the promised light. Every wrong will be made right. The road is straight, the burden's light, for in his hands he holds tomorrow.
Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are, but it will set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory.
Hey.
make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart.
Pray with me. Father, in these moments, we're reminded that it's not just about the hustle and bustle. It's not just about the frantic search and the going from here and there to meet our obligations and to make sure we've checked off everything on the calendar. It's important, Father, that we make room for you in our lives. It's important that we make room in our experiences, in our celebrations. It's important that in these moments this morning, we just take a deep breath and rest in your Holy Spirit. And rejoice in the fact that you gave us such an amazing gift, a gift that continues to pay benefits for us, a gift that continues to draw us towards you. And we're very thankful. Let these moments together remind us of all that you do, and the way that you bless us, and the way that you comfort us. And in all things, Father, we seek to give you honor and praise and glory. For unto us a child has been born, and you are holy, holy, holy. Continue to speak to us, Father, as we open your word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning again. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do. Turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 16 together. There's a Peanuts cartoon in which it shows Peppermint Patty talking to Charlie Brown, in which he said, "Guess what, Chuck? It's the first day of school, and I've already been sent to the principal's office. It's your fault, Chuck." Charlie Brown responds, "My fault? How could it be my fault? Why do you say everything is my fault?" To which she declares, "You're my friend, aren't you, Chuck? You should have been a better influence on me." You know, while Peppermint Patty was trying to pass the buck, she was also speaking some truth. We should be good influences on those around us because people are watching us, aren't they? I read of a minister who was making a wooden trellis to support a climbing vine. And as he was pounding away, he noticed that a little boy was watching him work. The boy didn't say a word, so the preacher kept on working, thinking that eventually the little boy would leave. But he didn't. He was pleased at the thought that his work was being admired. And the pastor said, "Are you trying to pick up some pointers, young man?" "No," he replied. "I'm just waiting to see what a pastor says after he hits his thumb with a hammer." Again, wherever we go, people are watching us. Those with little eyes and those with big eyes are gazing upon us as believers, waiting and watching for us to slip up. This morning, we're going to look at a great passage of Scripture from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Once again, we're in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. In fact, over the next few weeks, we're going to study a few different verses from the Sermon on the Mount. I've entitled this message this morning, "Making a Lasting Impact." Just before our focal passage, we read the Beatitudes. Each of the Beatitudes begin with the word blessed. And when translated from the Greek, the word means happy. When translated from Latin, it means blessing or approval upon. Fundamentally, it's the idea of being approved. Jesus begins teaching his disciples and telling them that this is the kind of life that God approves of. He transitions from speaking about the kind of life that God approves us to the kind of life that the Lord Jesus has called all of us to as believers. And as we will see this morning, whoever lives according to the Beatitudes will function in this world as salt and light. And you and I are to be influencers, aren't we? Notice what we read here in Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, you and I live in a land that is in desperate need of some flavoring, don't we? Not only that, but we live in a land that is pretty dark at times. That is why it is important for you and I to be the salt and light in this world. The Romans of Jesus' day had a statement. There is nothing more useful than sun and salt. And in light of this, let's look at our first point this morning. It's real simple. We're going to look at 2 points today. First one is this: be salty. Salt had multiple uses during Jesus' day. It was used as a preservative. Believe it or not, 2,000 years ago, GE had not yet been invented. You could not go down to Lowe's or Home Depot and buy yourself a refrigerator. So to preserve meat, they would take that meat and rub salt all over it. I read that when salt is applied to meat, a chemical reaction occurs that slows down and stops the natural decomposing process. Literally, it stops the meat from rotting and decaying. You and I live in a world that is quickly, morally spiraling out of control. Just like salt keeps meat from decaying, Jesus instructs us, his disciples, to help prevent the moral decay within our society. I think all of us would agree that the greater church has lost its influence within society. One pastor put it this way. Put simply, the church has lost its influence in the community. There are many reasons why this is so, but one reason stands above the rest. The church has lost its influence because Christians have neglected their responsibility to be salt and light in the world. As we have neglected to be what God has called us to be, the world has decided to ignore us. You know, there was a day, I mean, not that long ago, when the church was responsible for benevolence within a community, health care. Government turned to the church to help enforce morality. Today, we turn to the government to do these things. We turn to the government to clothe the naked, to feed the homeless, to mend the sick, and even, and this is scary, to enforce morals within society. If you and I are going to be the salt of the earth, then we must go throughout this land being a positive influence that points people to Jesus and not ones that repel people from Jesus. Notice also that salt adds flavor. Salt takes that which is bland and provides some zest to it. Salt has been used to enhance flavoring for thousands of years. Reaching back to the earliest of time, to most likely the first book ever written, Job 6. We read in Job 6:6, can that which is tasteless be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the juice of the mallow? As Christians, we are called to be salty. We have been called to add flavor and zest to this world. Is that possible? Is it possible for you and I to bring about positive change within our society? Of course it is. We can make a positive change in our homes, on our school campuses, at our places of work. We can make positive change as we go to the grocery store, as we go to the mall, as we're out and about at parks and etc. We can even influence our local and national governments. As Christians, you and I have the assurance that if we are salt, then the Lord will use us and enhance our witness. But as soon as we stop being salty, what good are we? As this passage of scripture that we are focusing on this morning says. At one time, salt was used as a currency. Our English word for salary comes from the Latin word salarium. In ancient days, salt was so valuable that Roman soldiers were actually paid with it. As I was preparing for this message, I came across a sermon that was preached many years ago. And in this passage, or in this sermon, there's an illustration that is shared about a salt chemist that went to a church close to Grand Saline. And the salt chemist says, I asked him to give me some facts about salt. And he wrote, or the pastor asked this, you know, there are more usages for salt than any other substance on earth besides water. It is used in almost every facet of food, drug, agricultural, chemical, and even has industrial uses. It is creation's second most useful substance. Salt is the only rock you can eat. Salt is formed in the shape of crystals, and like snowflakes, every crystal is uniquely different. The human body does not manufacture salt, though it is critical for bodily functions. It must be taken in. Like salt, you and I are valuable within the world's economy. In fact, no one is more valuable than you and I are. You realize that, right? We are children of the King. You have been saved, and I have been saved by grace and appointed by God the Father to be salty, to be His agent of change in this world. Salt is useful as long as it maintains its ability to produce flavor. As Christians, we are useful as long as we are influencing the society in which God has placed us in. Notice our second point this morning. It's this, be sunny. In verse 14, again, we read, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Several years ago when I was at my last church, one of the students showed up on a Wednesday night wearing a shirt that read, be like the moon, reflect the S-O-N, reflect the sun. Man, I love that shirt because it speaks of the kind of life that a Christian should live, right? You and I are to reflect God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Spirit. We are to be a reflection of the glory of God. In John 8, 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John, Jesus said that He is the light of the world. But notice in Matthew chapter 5, what Jesus says of you and I. He says, you are the light of the world. Do you see the transference that has taken place here? This is what discipleship looks like. And this is what it looks like to make a disciple. Jesus, who is the light of the world, speaks His light into us, His disciples, and makes us lights in this world. We are reflectors of the glory of God. Notice what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, 6. He says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. On the opening page of Scripture, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, we read, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Not only is there the big ball in the sky that dispenses light, but within the heart of every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is also the light of Jesus that is to be shown within our dark world. Notice how light is useful. It repels darkness. Man, do you remember when your kids were younger? Do you remember what they wanted you to do before they went to sleep? They wanted you to make sure the nightlight was on, maybe the closet light was on, maybe the hall light was on. They wanted light, right? As we get older, and we start getting up more frequently in the night, what do we need? We need light, right? Keep us from stubbing our toes and different things. Before Jesus came, the world was a very dark place. In fact, Isaiah describes the earth as being thrust into deep darkness before Christ came. The very last verse of Isaiah chapter 8, verse 22, we read, "And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness." That is how Isaiah 8 ends. There wasn't much hope back in those days because the world was a dark place. And we know that the world is a dark place today, but we know as Christians, we are the ones that are set apart to repel the darkness in the world. Isaiah 8 concludes with gloom and doom, but notice how chapter 9 begins. We read of this glorious prophetic word of what would come. In verses 1 and 2, we read, "But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the latter times he has made glorious the way of the sea. In the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." The great light prophesies is the light of Jesus Christ, right? When God became flesh and dwelt among us, his light defeated darkness once and for all. At the birth of Christ, the angels burst into the Christmas story with the light of the Lord shining around them. It was a star, a bright light that led the wise men to Jesus. Within the closing pages of the book of Revelation, we read how there will be no more need for the sun because Jesus is going to be the light that lights up the heavens. Light is essential to life. Without light, life does not exist. And until a person receives Christ, they will continue to live in darkness. Let us be like the moon as believers and reflect the sun, the Lord. Notice another purpose for light. Light exposes dangers. All of us know the importance of a lighthouse. Now, a lighthouse isn't as important as it once was, but it still has important purposes. They serve as navigational aid for the captain of a ship. They warn boats of dangerous areas. Jesus again said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." When you and I became Christ followers, you and I essentially became walking lighthouses. We became the light of the world, instructed to shine out our lights amongst those living in darkness. Light also gives guidance. In verses 15 and 16, we read, "Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You know, I love how our church sits up on a hill, especially at Christmas time. If you've noticed, if you've driven up Stacy at night, you can be, 3/4 of the way down, and you can see the lights of the church lighting up the night sky. From this hill, we can look out and we can see parts of Lucas and Allen and McKinney. And if we can see them, then they can see us as well. Jesus compares us as individuals to a city on a hill. From the Mount of Beatitudes, where Jesus spoke these words and preached this sermon, you can look out over the Sea of Galilee, and you can see places like Capernaum. You could see cities like Tiberias. You can see down on the Sea of Galilee. You can see where a church stands now, but there's a rock there where it's St. Peter's Primacy. And those at that very place, Jesus declared to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus is telling his disciples that they are his lights, responsible for taking the gospel to cities like Capernaum and Tiberias and to the surrounding cities that they could see. You and I are the light of Christ, responsible for taking the gospel to cities like Fairview and Lucas and Allen and Murphy and Wiley and Plano and whatever other cities are represented within this faith family, Princeton and Parker and etc. 23 chapters after Jesus told his disciples that they were to be salty and sunny, he gives them their final commissioning. He said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You and I have been given the authority of Christ to take the gospel of Christ to the nations. Who is it that the Lord is calling you and I to take the gospel to? Who is he calling us as we transition from 25 into 2026 to be salty to and to be sunny to? Who is it? Man, let's close out this year asking the Lord to reveal to us who he would have us to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to. You may be here this morning, and if you were to die today, you may not know where you would spend eternity. The Bible makes it clear you're going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to invite you this morning to make the greatest decision that you could ever make, and that is to repent of your sins and to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Bible says if you do that and you believe in the resurrection, you will be saved. So if you're here this morning, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you to come and make the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's stand together. I'm going to be standing here at the front, and if there's a decision you need to make, you come. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord Jesus, thanking you, Father, for the opportunity to gather together to worship you. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together to walk through your word together. Father, we know this, but you've called us to be salt. You've called us to be light. You've called us to add flavor, positive, good flavor within this world and to be a positive influence upon others. You've also called us to shine the light of Christ in every crevice of this world. So, Father, reveal to us, Lord Jesus, who we need to take the gospel to. Reveal to us, Father, how we can be a more positive influence upon others. Father, we know the world is looking to us as the church. We know that our family members and our friends and our co-workers are looking to us as believers, and they're waiting for us to stumble and fall. Father, help us, Lord Jesus, when we're tempted, Father, to give in, or we're tempted to say something that we shouldn't. Help us, Father, to recognize the fact that others are watching and others are in desperate need of you. So help us, Lord Jesus, to represent you well as we shine out the light of Jesus. Father, again, I pray that if there is someone here this morning that does not have a relationship with you, that today will be the day of their salvation. Father, move now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If there's a decision you need to make, you come. You come.